Fasten your seatbelts, get the tissues ready, and polish up those dancing shoes. We're going down musical memory lane with me, Monique Chambers, and a bunch of guests that have got really eclectic taste. Welcome to this week's Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest this week is Ariadne Massa. Now, you've had a really busy time with work, is how I know you, through the, you were the head of news at Times of Malta for a long time.
20 years. Oh, well, a journalist and head of news, but I worked at the Times.
So that must have been a 20 years. Really busy, interesting time.
Exciting.
Exciting. How you cope.
A thankful task at times, but it's always, it's also a very rewarding job, and I think it's a vocation more than a job.
Absolutely. It's like stress, no sleep, no phone, never silent, that kind of thing. Yeah. And now you do PR, which is pretty much as stressful, I'm sure, and media consultancy.
Well, it's much calmer. In fact, when I left the Times, you said the phone always ringing. The phone stopped ringing, quite ironically, like practically immediately, which was quite an anxious moment. I'm like, oh my God, what do I do now? What do I do now?
And it's also when you see something and you think, no, that's not news, that's not me anymore, I don't need to do that anymore.
Well, I think I'll always, I always consider myself a journalist first and foremost, and those instincts are still there, so I still follow up certain things and somehow get myself involved or other, or tip some journalist off, or... But yes, it's been very exciting. I do media consultancy and public relations with my business partner, Steve Malia, who was the editor of the Times.
Okay.
And I think it's more manageable because you can work in your own hours. Obviously, you meet your clients and stuff, but you do the work in your own time. So it's more manageable rather than having a team relying on you and constant deadlines of... you know, we need to feed the beast, we need to feed the beast.
That's it, because when there was print, it was one thing, but then as soon as online comes into playing, people don't realize it's non-stop.
Yeah. Totally different game. I think it's been like, I think news is going, and journalism is going through a whole upheaval, obviously, and has been through the demise of newspapers, but... Anyways, I think it's constantly getting the news out first, and sometimes fact checking and veracity sometimes isn't.
I miss print. I don't care. I miss print. I miss my Sunday papers, you know, wading through them. And I don't want 24-hour news. I was quite happy with it being three times a day. Thank you very much. So whoever's decision that was, globally, you were wrong.
I was really disappointed when they stopped them getting the Sunday Times of London. I was like, crisis.
Yeah, what do you do on a Sunday? It's like a whole, seriously, a whole generation of people are going to have different Sundays. What do they do?
I think we're kind of revealing our age now.
Yeah, okay, right, we'll stop. And talking of which, we're going to backpedal. Aha! And your first
and
song.
And reveal our age even more, but anyways.
Yeah, your first song actually is by Queen.
Yes.
And it's Bicycle Race, so not Rat Race, Bicycle Race. So,
another race. Yeah. It's it was 1978. I've got two brothers who are both older than I am, and one of them is 14 years older than I am.
Okay.
And he was in Canada. He had won a scholarship to do his sixth form there and then ended up staying there. So he used to come for summer. He used to come with all these different new bands and great music. So this was one of the songs that he used to play and play over and over one summer. And it really stuck. And I still love riding my bicycle. So as a little girl, I was probably 7 years old.
Oh.
So.
And listening to this, so we're going to bicycle with Queen.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like. You say black, I say white. You say bar, I say bite. You say shark, I say him. And yours was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars. You say Rose, I say Rush. You say God. Give me a choice. Say Lord. I say Christ. I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein or Superman. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
said, Kane.
He said, John.
I said, Wayne.
Hot dog.
I said, cool, man. I don't want to be the president of America.
He said, smile.
I said, Jesus.
Johnny, eh?
I said, please.
Income tax.
I said, Jesus, I don't want to be a candidate for being number one again. Cause all I want to do is
bicycle.
Yeah.
The next song is by the Alan Parsons Project, and this is Eye in the Sky. So where does that memory take you back?
Okay, that memory takes me back to my sixth form days, but then as well I had gone to Canada to study journalism. I did my first degree there, and I realized that the eye in the sky, the symbol, was actually adored by the Egyptians. It was a symbol of the sun. And when I lived in Canada, suddenly the sun just disappeared in long winters for weeks on end. And the sun became one of the most important things in my life that I was like, oh my God, I want to see the sun. I want to see the sun. So, I had a tattoo. I designed a tattoo with the sun, and inside I put the eye in the sky of Alan Parsons Project, kind of a sun and a sun. And, it's remained with me for the rest of my life. So.
Going to ask you where that is.
Well, it's actually in a place where I can show it or hide it.
There you go. So, leave a lot to the imagination while we're listening to Eye in the Sky by the Alan Parsons Project.
I can read your mind.
Now, that's got to be the first time we've had somebody on the show talking about having a tattoo done because of a song. Also, your next track is probably the first time we've played AC/DC on campus.
Wow, okay.
But I wanted to talk a bit more about Canada, because I would love to live in Vancouver.
Okay, I lived in Toronto.
Ah, okay, so which, it's snowy and a bit different.
Yeah. And, well, what can I say? The Canadians are just wonderful people. They're great fun. And Canada is just such a vibrant city. I think it was a great introduction for me. I went there. I mean, I did my degree in 1992, so it was a whole new world for me. It was a time when I suddenly got exposed to gay rights, multiculturalism at a very early age, at a time when we weren't even discussing these things in Malta. So I think it was an incredible experience. It's shaped and formed so much of who I am today.
But you didn't stay. I mean,
well, I have very few regrets, because it's useless having regrets in life. But one regret is that I had been there for nearly 5 years and I could apply for citizenship. But I had just graduated, and you know, with Canada, all the students kind of disappear during the summer, and I just didn't, I think, have the one money or the energy or the friends to kind of hang around. So I came here, and unfortunately I didn't go back to get my citizenship. And that's one thing I regret, because I really love it. There was many a time when I was like, okay, I want to just pack my bags and just go there.
Well, let's get this AC/DC Thunderstruck on. We'll talk about that track after, and we'll just shake away those blues just for
Yeah.
I'm going to be headbanging soon.
So where does that gentle track take you to?
Well, that takes me back to the years, my party years, when I used to be back in Malta with my friends and partying at the Alley. But it also, for me, it has a particular meaning, because the first year I had gone back, I had gone back a month earlier, and because I was seeing this Canadian guy, and basically we broke up, and then suddenly all my friends hadn't returned because I was there a month earlier, and I was working. I went back. I used to work as a waitress part time when I was studying. And my friends had invited me to, the friends that I was working with invited me to go to a party. And I was like, no, I kind of didn't know many people. And I was a bit in licking my wounds, feeling sorry for myself. And, anyways, they happened to live across the road from me. And, I had left the window open, and all of a sudden I hear this song, Thunderstruck. I'm like, okay, I have to go to this party. And, I went to this party, and they became my best friends, and we had such a fabulous time. And the rest is history. It was one of the most amazing summers just because of the song. If I hadn't heard this song, I probably wouldn't have gone to that party.
And things wouldn't have turned out the way they have.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. I made so many new friends and had a fantastic summer.
Excellent. Now we're going to talk about your next song now, which is slightly different.
Yeah.
This is Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box.
Yes.
Where does that take you?
Okay, so when I was in Canada, it was the grunge era. Uh-huh. So it was the revolution of Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Nine Inch Nails, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I think it was also, for me, the discovery for the first time of my music, you know, because before I was very influenced by by the music of my siblings and a lot of Pink Floyd, a lot of Queen. This was the first time when I kind of really got into the grunge era. So, complete with outfit. And I was fortunate enough to watch Nirvana live. It was a baptism of fire in the mosh pit. I went body surfing. I was like right at the front, and they were touring with the In Utero album.
Okay, sorry. My face just said it all there. I have no idea what you're not my generation, not my genre.
And anyways, it was mind-blowing on so many levels, because you're just there right at the front, and the crowd just like heaves and crushes you against the barriers, and there are the security guards waiting to lift people up, and you're like, no, please, just leave me here. And they keep, and then pick you up and take you away, because they don't want to take any risks with your health. But it was
so
wow.
We're going to body surf through
yes
Heart-Shaped Box by Nirvana.
Box for weeks. I've been
Now, a bit more mainstream, although he'd hate to be described as this, but we've got David Bowie next, and Absolute Beginners. I had one guest a couple of seasons ago who virtually his whole playlist was David Bowie.
I have a feeling we're probably talking about the same person.
Probably, yes, yes.
Probably, and yes. This is an influence of that person, if it's the same person, he's my ex-husband, and to get to his heart, I had to basically learn everything there was to know about David Bowie, which I did very very well. And at our wedding, we had chosen Absolute Beginners, which was sung beautifully by Maura Stafraj at the time during our mass when we were saying our vows. And it holds a very, very special place in my heart.
Oh, it's a really nice memory. So we're going to listen to Absolute Beginners by Dave Bowie.
As long as you're still smiling.
this next song has been recorded by many artists, but you've chosen the Diana Krall version of The Look of Love. Why is that? not really whipping you across the desk because you haven't chosen the Dionne Warwick one, but tell me.
Well, I think I had never heard of Diana Krall until she came to Malta for the jazz festival.
Okay.
And there's quite a funny moment when she was playing. I think it was 1998 or something like that. And the second she came to play on the piano, there was a feast, I think, in one of the three cities or something like that. And there's this barge that is basically in the harbor, and there's these whole fireworks, and she just couldn't play, and she just, you know, rolls her eyes, laughs, and just somehow continues playing. And I think that Diana Krall symbolizes, you know, for me, fun, hot summer, jazz festivals, relaxed friends, you know, it's just those memories. And The Look of Love is something that she, in my opinion, excuse me, Diana Warwick, sings so beautifully.
No, it is a beautiful song, and I listened to her version just to hear it, and it is beautiful. Actually, she has a great voice too, so I'll forgive you, and we will listen to The Look of Love, the Diana Krall version.
Is in your eyes, a look your smile can't disguise. The look of love, it says so much more than just words could ever say. And what my heart has heard, well, it takes my breath away. I can't hardly wait to hold you, feel my arms around you. How long I have waited just to love you. Now that I have found you, you've got the look of love is on your face, a look that time can't erase. Be mine tonight. Let this be just the start of so many nights like this. Let's take a lover's vow and then seal it with a kiss. I can't hardly wait to hold you, feel my arms around you. How long I have waited just to love you. Now that I have found you, don't ever go. Don't ever go.
Now, this next artist I've got a bit of a crush on. Actually, his face, really, more than anything. I love his face, and I hope my partner's not listening. So Leonard Cohen and Closing Time is the next song. Where does that memory take you?
Okay, as you know, he's Canadian, so my journalism professor had used to love playing records of Leonard Cohen. I think that was my introduction to Leonard Cohen. And it also brings memories because the day I met my partner, who I'm with today, we were arguing with his cousin about whether Leonard Cohen is really a singer or a poet, you know, and because of his voice and the lyrics are just so beautiful and really touch a chord. So we had this debate. So it has a lot of memories and. That take me actually through many chapters in my life. But closing time specifically, because when he passed away, I had put it up, I think, on Twitter or on Instagram or something, and we were playing it at home, and my partner just didn't stop playing closing time. Sometimes I just don't want to hear it anymore, but it's funny. It brings back these memories. Closing time, because it's also a closing a chapter on such a wonderful artist and musician.
So we're going to listen to that, and we're going to try not to be sad.
Yeah.
Something in between, I guess it's closing time. freedom, but it feels like there is something in between our gates. It's closing time. But there's nothing really happening, and the place is dead as heaven on a Saturday night. And my very ghost companion gets me falling, gets me laughing. She's 100, but she's wearing something tight. And I lift my glass to the awful truth, which can't reveal to the ears of you, except to say it isn't worth the time. And the whole damn place goes crazy twice. And it's once for the devil and it's once for Christ. By the boss thrown like these dizzy heights, we're busted in the blind and lights of closing time. The whole damn place goes crazy twice. And it's once for the devil and it's once for Christ. But the boss thrown like these dizzy heights, we're busted in the blinding light.
Busted in the blinding light.
In the blinding lights of closing time. Closing time. Oh, women tear the blouses off, and the men they dance on the polka dots. It's closing time. And it's partly found, and it's partly lost, and it's hell to pay when the fiddler stops. It's closing time. I swear it happened just like this. A silent crowd of 100 years. It's closing
time. Closing time.
It's a lovely rising inch. I can't say much has happened since. But closing
time. Closing time.
I loved you when our love was blessed. I love you now. There's nothing left but love.
So we just have a giggle there about your current partner, who's my favourite interview ever. But anyway, so we're going to move swiftly on, because we've been gossiping, yeah. To Mercy by Muse. Where does this one take you?
Okay, I love Muse. I've watched them twice live, and they're just, wow, amazing. But this particular song, Mercy, I was going through a really, really tumultuous time in my life. I was going through... I had lived the times, I was going through a separation, moving house, and this song just used to lift me up and just, you know, fill me with energy. And I just used to be in the car shouting at the top of my voice and singing along, and I just used to feel better every time I used to play it.
Everyone listening to Campus FM right now, turn it up, wind your windows down. We want you to sing your heads off to Mercy by Muse.
Yeah. Yeah. Show me my secrets. Yeah.
So the next song is Cinema Paradiso, or a piece of music, really.
Yeah.
Where does that take you?
Well, I think rather than Cinema Paradiso per se, I think Ennio Morricone is. It was such a struggle, I think, to choose just one of his many beautiful musical scores. You know, I mean, so many of his films that have just been, you know, brought to life by his music. And I watched him live in 2016. It was the time, ironically, the day of the Brexit referendum. I will never forget. And Ennio Morricone was playing at Blenheim Palace, and it was such a magical, beautiful evening. And anyways, we went back home, and we were saying, wow, you know, like, what a beautiful day. Hopefully it ends well, and the UK...
Well, it hadn't.
So we went to sleep, because when we went to sleep, everything seemed like everything was running smoothly and the UK wasn't going to leave the EU. But then we woke up at like 4 and we're like, oh my God.
Mm. And
anyway, so Ennio Morricone I will always associate with Brexit, poor guy. Anyways, so. Really? But Cinema Paradiso is also such a magical, beautiful song, I think, for so many of us.
So we're going to leave the Cinema Paradiso, sadly, but I think most people know that one. We're going to go straight into the last song, which I really want to play the whole thing of. So tell us quickly why the Ultimate Motivational Clip by Rise and Shine appeals to you, and where does it take you?
Okay. So my partner and his family have been going to this amazing Marathon de Médoc in France, where you basically run through the vineyards and you drink wine, but it's a full marathon. So don't be deluded into thinking that. So anyways, it's I basically never train or do anything, so I kind of show up to a marathon, and I need quite a lot of motivation, and this is what I listen to over and over and over again while we're driving there, and even while I'm attempting to jog through the vineyards, this is what I listen to.
Well, we're going to play out on this. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's Musical Memories, Ariadne Massa.
Rise and shine. 6 a.m. and your hand can't make it to the alarm clock before the voices in your head start telling you that it's too early, too dark, and too cold to get out of bed. Aching muscles lie still in rebellion, pretending not to hear your brain commanding them to move. A legion of voices are shouting their unanimous permission for you to hit the snooze button and go back to dreamland. But you didn't ask their opinion. The voice you've chosen to listen to is one of defiance. A voice that says there was a reason you set that alarm in the first place. So sit up, put your feet on the floor, and don't look back, because we've got work to do. Welcome to the grind. For what is each day but a series of conflicts between the right way and the easy way? 10,000 streams fan out like a river delta before you, each one promising the path of least resistance. Thing is, you're headed upstream. And when you make that choice, when you decide to turn your back on what's comfortable, what's safe, and what some would call common sense, well, that's day one. From there, it only gets tougher. So just make sure this is something you want, because the easy way out will always be there, ready to wash you away. All you have to do is pick up your feet. But you aren't going to, are you? With each step comes the decision to take another. You're on your way now, but this is no time to dwell on how far you've come. You're in a fight against an opponent you can't see, but oh, you can feel him on your heels, can't you? Feel him breathing down your neck. You know what that is? That's you. Your fears, your doubts, and insecurities all lined up like a firing squad, ready to shoot you out of the sky. But don't lose heart. While they're not easily defeated, they are far from invincible. Remember, this is the grind, the battle royale between you and your mind, your body, and the devil on your shoulder who's telling you that this is just a game. This is just a waste of time. Your opponents are stronger than you. Drown out the voice of uncertainty with the sound of your own heartbeat. Burn away your self-doubt with the fire lit beneath you. Remember what we're fighting for and never forget that momentum is a cruel mistress. She can turn on a dime with the smallest mistake. She is ever searching for the weak place in your armor, that one tiny thing you forgot to prepare for. So as long as the devil is hiding the details, the question remains, is that all you got? Are you sure? And when the answer is yes, and you've done all you can to prepare yourself for battle, then it's time to go forth and boldly face your enemy, the enemy within. Only now you must take that fight into the open, into hostile territory. You're a lion in a field of lions, all hunting the same elusive prey with a desperate starvation that says victory is the only thing that can keep you alive. So believe that voice that says you can run a little faster, and you can throw a little harder, and that for you, the laws of physics are merely a suggestion. Luck is the last dying wish of those who want to believe that winning can happen by accident. Sweat, on the other hand, is for those who know it's a choice. So decide now, because destiny waits for no man. And when your time comes, and a thousand different voices are trying to tell you you're not ready for it, listen instead to that lone voice of dissent. The one that says you are ready. You are prepared. It's all up to you now. So rise and shine.
We hope you've enjoyed visiting Musical Memories with me, Monique Chambers, and this week's guest. Tune in next week for more.